Thanks for tuning in to the Undercut's review of the 2024 Japanese Grand Prix. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen, and enjoy the show.
By being a racing driver, you are under risk all the time. By being a racing driver means you are racing with other people. And if you no longer go for a gap that exists, you're no longer a racing driver.
We had the fourth round of the Formula One season in 2024, the Japanese Grand Prix in Suzuka, one that a lot of the drivers say is, you know, one of their favorite tracks. I mean, it's a pretty crazy layout. It's like no other track layout on the circuit that I can really think of.
Certainly the only one that has a figure eight design, yeah, with right. The bridge. Yeah, nothing else.
Bit Silverstone-y.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of sweeping S's. Yeah, fast left, right corners.
A true test of a Formula One car, let's put it that way.
Yeah, and a driver.
Yeah.
And it's at a new time. It's for a long time been at the end of the season. We've seen lots of championships, you know, been decided in Suzuka, but obviously it's the fourth race of the calendar this season. So we got to have the cherry blossoms out, which they were talking about on the broadcast all weekend long. Like the cherry blossoms came up all the time, and we got lots of Yuki coverage, lots of Yukiness going on this weekend. Which has
that
been deserved.
Free practices that you were watching when nothing else was going on.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Will Buxton talking about how turns were named the way they were and how they don't actually have the same dimensions for why they were named the way they were. But yeah, that was all during FP2 with nothing going on. But during FP1, we had another Williams car crash.
Goodness.
Logan Williams crashing the car.
Logan Sargent crashing.
He's just blending into the team. Yeah.
He doesn't own the company.
Yes, Logan Sargent crashing into the wall. He just kind of lost it on his own. So
he stayed in it in a spot. I mean, they all know that the exit of that turn coming over the hill there is tricky, and what I think it was his out lap, right, or his first hot lap on those tires. Yeah. And
he got a bit unlucky right in Australia where it was Albon that crashed the car and he got kicked out, but they're racking up the crash costs already, Williams. There isn't a weekend that goes by that it seemed to do something expensive.
Well, I guess we should talk about actually briefly, because Nick and I were talking on the last broadcast about how it's so ironic that the race that a Ferrari driver wins, neither of you were on the show. So why don't we just go back a little bit? How are you guys feeling after that win? You know, coming into this weekend, Ferrari's looking great, coming off a win. We were
partying in Italy.
Yeah,
we couldn't make it.
I was also on vacation here down in Curacao, but no, it was a great 1-2 by the Ferraris, of course. It was in the middle of the night for us again at these races, so I woke up to that result. Fantastic, but
yeah.
It only happens when, you know, Max has a disaster, right? It has to be. But a lot of the coverage was great. The fans. I mean, I feel bad. I'm not a bad sportsman, but the fans were sort of cheering, you know, when Max went out, because there was something interesting was going to happen, right?
I did. I cheered so loud.
Yeah. It made the standings look very interesting coming into this race, you know. Things are tight, lots of possibilities, you know, what could happen.
I can't tell you how many times I heard Carlos Sainz could be leading the championship after this race.
Exactly. That's what the math says. Reality says something different.
Yeah, that Max is already winning the championship and is in this race. Yeah.
I mean, the only thing I would add is it's slightly, I don't know if irony is the word, but it's Sainz that's getting the wins, the guy who's leaving the team, and not Leclerc, right, who's the future of the team. So Leclerc is playing second fiddle, it seems, to Sainz at the moment. Although, of course, Sainz had one less race, you know, with the appendicitis. So But on the track, Sainz seems to be getting the points over Leclerc.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I mean, Leclerc had his brake issues and stuff like that. There's all sorts of reasons, but
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, straightforward.
Bold statement right here. Carlos is the top driver of the season so far, in my opinion.
Yeah. Not Max.
Not Max.
Of course not. He's everything got the car. Yeah.
Everything is except for Max. We just don't give. He just wins all the stuff that he can win, but everything is a choice.
Yeah. I mean, you're not really doing much up at the front. Nobody in front of you. All the cars getting out of the way. Like, Carlos is making it happen. So
he is. Yeah. He's driving great. He's very focused, which is, I mean, he's been here now long enough because Carlos has always got that slow start and he figures it out and works hard. So it's cool to see, you know, all that paying off for him. Obviously, it does. I mean, I didn't want Lewis from the beginning. I would have been fine keeping Carlos. So it does stink that he's on his way out and hopefully he doesn't make everybody eat his words, but, or eat their words.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was cool to see 1-2. Would have been nice to see them battle it out, but we'll take it.
Yeah. All right. So not much crazy stuff happened during qualifying this weekend. Lance, who had been, he's always struggled at Suzuka coming into this weekend and just could not get it figured out. So Aston Martin brought some pretty big upgrades, I guess they were saying. And Lance had them on the car all weekend, whereas Alonso just put them on for the last practice session. And Lance just couldn't figure it out, and he could not get out of Q1. So very disappointing from him. And then the other big thing was Danny almost made it through to Q3. He was so close. But then Yuki was like the last one of the last people to come over the line at the end of Q2 and just got ahead of Danny to kick him out of Q3. Yuki outqualifying Danny in all four races so far this season. Yuki's driving very well. You can't say he's not, regardless of how you feel about how he is in the car, his talent, whatever, he's kicking butt this season.
Yeah, definitely.
He's doing well. Danny is not doing well. So there's kind of two things going on at once. He just doesn't seem to be able to figure out the car. And I know we're only four races in, but I think I said it after round two, like that mentally, I think the pressure's got to build right away. If you don't just get off to a good start when you know everybody's looking at you, the expectations of what's supposed to happen with Ricardo. So yeah, he's digging a bit of a hole for himself that I'm sure is not feeling fun.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like Red Bull wants him to be there, and it seems like they want him to be the second driver in the top team, but he's not making it work out that way, the way that he's driving right now. And then Max got pole again for the fourth time in four races. So,
surprise.
Not a surprise at all, is it? Yeah.
Well, it was, I mean, before anything started the weekend, you obviously going to Suzuka and Red Bull with their car, the way it was, especially after last year, you just automatically think it's going to be they're just going to wipe everybody. And then all of a sudden you start to see like Max was not really having the most comfortable weekend and Sergio's right behind him, which is obviously very odd. So it was, as things progressed, you started to kind of raise your eyebrow a little bit at what was going on.
Yeah. And then McLaren was kind of expected to be a car that would do very well around this track. And they also did not seem to be able to put it together through practice or really in qualifying. I mean, Lando was able to put in a great lap at the end of qualifying and, you know, qualify P3, but for most of it, he was having trouble staying on the track and getting a lap in that wasn't getting deleted.
I mean, the weather was not cooperating because it did seem like which team felt like they had it all figured out for the weekend. They all seemed, you know, Ferrari was supposed to be good here and they seemed like they were off pace. Yeah. McLaren, same thing. Max was struggling to figure things out. So I have to only chalk it up to maybe the weather was just kind of getting everybody a little bit confused with which direction to go. And then the race day, I think, ended up being way hotter than all the practice sessions, which had the rain. So I think they all just were kind of figuring things out.
Yeah. I mean, at least Mercedes was like the big surprise through the practice sessions. It didn't end up panning out for them, but they were surprisingly fast through the practice sessions, but they were not able to put it together for qualifying, unfortunately for them. And that's really it for qualifying. Obviously, Charles had a pretty poor qualifying session by his standards. I mean, what did he end up qualifying? P8?
Yeah, I think 8.
Way down. Yeah, behind Lewis.
Yeah. Sandwiched between the two Mercedes.
He kind of, you know, his tire situation ended up getting difficult when he had an overspend in Q1 and only had the one set for Q3. But no matter what, he was just not on Carlos's pace.
I mean, you heard him say on the radio, like, I don't even know what I'm doing wrong here. And a couple guys said that. I think Alonso said that one time. He was like, I feel like I was on the limit and I don't even know how to get more out of it. But he figured it out. Alonso did.
Continue the conversation on pine-sports.com. That's pine-sports.com. And the Pine Sports Discord, which you can find linked on the website. And join us in a one-of-a-kind fantasy Formula One contest at coopsf1.com. That's coopsf1.com, where you can put your theories to the test.
So let's jump into the race. Max had a great start off the line, as he usually does. Checo had a pretty good start, too, but Max was able to really close him off fairly easily. But after just a couple turns, Danny squeezed Albon off the side of the track. I mean, he didn't even see him there. He was looking on the left side. Albon was trying to come along on the right side, and the Red Bulls both had, or the RBs both had bad starts on the line. So they were on the back foot. And I think they both started on hard tires as well, where everyone around them was on softer tires. So everyone was trying to get around them and Danny wasn't able to see. And he just pushed Alex off the track and they both went spinning and crashing into the wall and bringing out a red flag on the very first lap.
Yeah, definitely a racing incident, but like Alex should not have put himself there. I don't think. I think he was putting himself in a bit of a, you know, they were three wide, I think, at one point. What is he going to try to hang the outside three wide going into that twist, you know, that S section? It stinks because I think he probably was in a position where you can't not be there. What are you going to, like, you know, it's lap one. Everybody's aggressive. He probably had somebody behind him. So racing incident for sure. But if anything, Alex, I'm sure, is regretting putting himself in that position.
Yeah. I agree. I don't know there's much Ricardo could do. I mean, Albon was on the soft and Ricardo was on the medium tire. So I don't know if Albon thought he had more grip and he could hang it around the outside. But yeah, there was just no space. And even a slight move to the right from Ricardo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Contact and out.
Big crash. Know. They really took that wall out too.
Yeah. I felt Danny had more room though on the left.
On his left? I don't know if I've seen that replay. I've certainly seen the replay really from Albon's perspective where he, you know, Danny seemed to
come to him. Stroll was kind of there on the left. I think it was Stroll, but I feel like he had a little more room. It might have still happened anyway. Maybe there wasn't enough room, but I felt like it was possible. But regardless, they both crash into the walls. Luckily, they're, you know, thankfully they're both okay. Yeah. And then all the talk for the very long red flag at 1:30 in the morning about how will
cherry
this
blossoms?
Yeah, no. Talking about the chassis, of course, of Williams, because this is their second crash of the weekend, and that they won't have a spare chassis until Miami, which is two races from now.
So they might be just running one car in China.
Correct.
Oh wow, I did not know that.
If they can't fix it.
And is that a budget cap thing or just they just don't have the money?
I think it was more like they were on the back foot during testing and then they just weren't able to have enough supplies to bring with them for another one. And I don't even know if it was really a money thing. It's just they were not prepared enough to start the season.
It could be a money thing. I mean, we were talking before, weren't we, about back in the 90s about T cars and how they'd have teams would have three cars ready to go. If one crashed out, the driver could jump in the other car. Those were the rules back then. I mean, they changed all that a long time ago, but wow.
Yeah.
Kind of embarrassing.
It is. And I mean, they've even made the rules more lenient this season. Like, you can have more of a built-up car than you were last year when they were penalized. Like, they've made it so that you can have it more built up, but they just didn't have one available for them. So, yeah, really not good for them. But the only benefit, I guess, was that, so I guess with the Parc Fermé rules, like, coming out of qualifying, you can't touch the car at all. You can't adjust the front wing. You can't do anything until the race starts. But because they crashed on lap one and had a red flag, if any of these teams wanted to make these small alterations to the front wing or changing the tires or whatever, they could do it in the pit lane because they had the red flag. And it's essentially like just a race restart with whatever settings that they thought would feel better. But I don't know if any of them actually utilized it.
Yeah, I mean, on the, because I have the pit strategy or the on the on my screen right now, and yeah, like half the team or like everybody has a pit, pretty much has a pit stop marked on lap one, except for the Red Bulls, Lando, and the McLarens, and Alonso, and Bottas. Interesting enough, everybody else has a pit stop marked. So I don't know if they didn't change anything or they did, the other team put on.
Alonso doesn't have a pit stop marked because he switched over to the soft.
No, it says here that he started on soft and stayed on those until lap 13.
Oh, he did. That's right. He did start on the softs. Yeah.
And they only had one.
It was Mercedes. Mercedes is the only team that changed tires. They went to the hards.
Yeah. And I think some of the lower down teams.
Yeah.
Ocon, might have.
Gasly, yeah. Pete.
So very low down.
So, yeah, they all switched compounds. Yeah. Tsunoda switched from medium to used. Soft, and Hamilton went from medium to hard, and yeah, Russell went from medium to hard as well. Yeah.
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 And I guess so. A lot of teams were dealing with not having enough tires really for the race. And I know that Aston Martin specifically only had one new hard and one new medium for the race, which were like the two good ones for this race. So they didn't even have the ability really to pit on that first lap because they wouldn't have had enough tires to make it until the end of the race. All right. So they called the red flag, which means the lap count obviously stops. And so we got another standing restart on lap three. And it was, you know, pretty much the same restart that we got in the first one, minus the crash. Everything kind of stayed the same. We saw that Ocon and Pierre had a little incident where they tapped each other on the restart. And they, I saw after the race, because Jack Doohan was doing the like post race for F1 TV, and he was saying that they did enough damage that it affected their downforce, and that's kind of why they drop back, although they were pretty far back to begin with. But it didn't help them have any chance of moving forward. Yuki had some pretty great moments in this race. He did pass George in on like the fourth lap or the fifth lap, but George was able to pass him right back and take P9 back. But Yuki showing that he's being aggressive early on.
Yeah.
Checo went wide on lap six, which helped Max kind of pull away from him. It was looking like the two of them were going to be able to stay close, but once Max got like 2 seconds ahead, he just...
Yeah, I
pulled
think it
away.
Was on Degner 2, right? Coming under the bridge, right before the bridge.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's right.
A
lot
turn.
Of people
You're coming down that
there.
Hill. Yeah, yeah. Logan, that's where Logan ends up going off. And that's a difficult turn to get the braking slowed down and try to pop back out.
Yeah. Yuki pit super early from P10. And that kind of started the whole train of people pitting pretty early. The tire deg seemed to be pretty high early on in the race. Carlos was saying that Lando ahead of him was looking like he was struggling on the tires, but Lando was still able to stay out of DRS range because of their speed through that first sector and through the S's. The McLarens were kind of able to build up a little gap, at least in the beginning of the race. And then Logan had a really nice move on Pierre right after that. Logan had some good moments in this race, as you know, didn't turn out great, but he did have some good moments.
Yeah. I mean at this point, it was surprising to see how much passing was happening, because it's not typically a passing track. So it was cool to see that there was just, you know, good action right from the beginning.
And on some interesting plot parts of the track too, you don't tend to see people overtaking through those S's earlier on in the lap, but, you know, people making it stick around the outside sometimes, which was pretty cool to see.
Yeah. Let's see. Lando came into pit on lap 12. He was the first of the leader top five to come in. Oscar responded, and then everyone started pitting. Alonso pit on the next lap, and then Zhou retired from the race. I didn't see what happened.
His car was just a mess the whole weekend. Yeah. I can't remember exactly what happened either, but yeah, I think he was just having issues the whole weekend, and
He had a pit stop. He changed tires with the red flag, but then he had another pit stop on lap 7, and then he was out just a few laps after that.
Well, they were very happy on the commentary that they were able to have 2 sub-6-second pit stops. Like, that was a score for them.
That's the bar now for the kick team.
Yeah. It was really depressing.
Hey, well, you know, let's take it for the positive that it is.
I guess so, yeah. Logan again getting a nice movie, like faked out Ocon going into turn one to get him to go to one side, and Logan pulled out the other way and was just outside of the points in P11 at this point. Yuki made a great, this is, I guess, where his first like amazing pass at the S's was on Pierre on lap 15.
I'm sure the crowd went absolutely bonkers for that.
Yeah. I mean, Nick, our other co-host, who I guess we haven't said on here yet, was at the race this weekend. He said that every single time Yuki came around the track, the place went nuts.
No matter what was happening.
Yeah.
And quite rightly too.
Yeah,
they're very passionate there for sure in Japan. They do love their Formula One, and they've been starved of anybody with any great success. So good, you know, good for them.
Yeah, it was. I was going to misquote a stat, but what I was going to say is, I want one of those hats so bad, so bad. I should have told Nick.
Yeah,
the ones that like they got like working,
yeah,
DRS,
like a full and car like on their head. I need that. Go to work in that.
Yeah.
Next year, or somebody will have the full track with cars going around it, probably like recreating the race.
That would be amazing.
Don't give them any ideas. They're just going to get more and more intricate.
I feel like Martin Brundle or Simon Lisenby or whatever his name is, I feel like one of them bought one of those from one of the fans at one of the races in the past few years. Yeah. Yeah, but it's great. And it's a track where there's fans of every single driver there. Like, every driver is represented no matter what. Like, there's just, the fans are littered with different colors. It's not just like a sea of orange for Max or, you know, Ferrari, where it's just all, or in Italy, where there's just red everywhere. Like, it's really cool the way that, you know, everyone is cheered for there. And then, so lap 17, Max pits from the lead. I guess Checo had pit the lap before that, and Carlos as well. So I believe that was pretty much everybody that started in the top 10 had pit, other than the Mercedes, I think, who started on the, or switched to the hard tires and then went long during the restart. Lando went around the outside of turn one to take P4 from Lewis. That was pretty crazy. It looked like Lewis was going to be able to close it off, but Lando just like kept gunning it around that fast corner at turn one and was able to keep it on the track. So that was impressive from him. And I guess he was on the fresher hard tires as well. And the hard tires were really the better tire for this race, it seemed, at least early on in the race.
They definitely all seemed to be, I think, underestimating the tires. You know, as the race went on, it seemed like everybody started to realize, you know, Leclerc stayed out. How long did Alonso make the softs last in the first stint? He kind of pitted
close
with
to 20 laps. Yeah.
Yeah. He pitted with everybody that was on the mediums. So, I think tire deg was just much less than they expected.
Yeah.
Which is weird because it was hotter than they prepared for, but somehow.
Yeah. I mean, especially because
high downforce.
Yeah, because all those early guys pit super early off the medium tires. Maybe they probably could have made it last longer. Let's see. And then Carlos passes Lewis. Lewis started, you know, dropping back on those older hard tires now. And then Max retook the lead fairly quickly after he pit, what, four laps after he had pit, dropped down one spot and took the lead back from Charles. But this is where, you know, Charles is the only one in the very top that has not pit yet. And it looks like he's not coming in for a little bit, and he's able to keep that gap from Lando behind at the same, like, 2 seconds. It's not, Lando was not able to gain at all on much fresher tires.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, you know, last year, all we talked about was how Ferrari burned through tires. So, you know, definitely a highlight on the improvements they've made on their aero package. Yeah, or mechanical package too.
Yeah, I mean, Leclerc effectively, you know, one stopped the race. I mean, he changed the tires on lap one, but after that, you know, he only did the one pit stop, which is, you know, pretty impressive from a tire perspective. Well, coming in, I was just one thing about the overtake of Verstappen on Leclerc. I mean, he was clearly faster, but it looked like Leclerc just got out the way, or is that the line that you take to kind of put your car in the middle of the track to sort of hold, try and defend the corner? But I mean, Verstappen just went round the outside so easily.
I thought the same thing as you did. I thought that it looked like Charles just let him through.
Yeah.
To me. Yeah.
I think maybe.
But I saw a few people like defending that way on that corner, but you just, if you can, if you got the traction and the speed, you can just drive around the outside and it's not an issue. There's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think Max was just so much faster on such fresher tires that it wouldn't, it, I mean, even if he was really trying to defend there, it didn't matter. Carlos lined up George right after Max overtook on Charles and was it going into Spoon Corner and was able to take P6. That was awesome for Carlos. He was looking great during the race. You heard Ocon's engineer tell him to push more, and Ocon got really pissed off and is like, that's what I'm doing.
that was funny.
Yeah.
I am pushing.
Another awful weekend from Alpine, which has just been an awful season every race so far.
I can't. They certainly didn't expect to start this badly, I don't think, after last year. And like now they're just dealing with the fallout and it must be frustrating.
Yeah. All right. So on lap 23, this is where we saw five different cars come into the pits at the same time. I think Bottas was really the one in the best position going in there, but Yuki had an unbelievably fast pit stop and was able to jump everybody and get back up into P11 and fighting for the points again. He kind of needed that to really have a shot of getting into the points.
Yeah. This is when there was like, they all came, about five cars came in together, and then when they came out, Yuki was in the lead, but there were certainly at least two cars that were side by side coming out the pits, right? On the on the limiter.
I think Lance
happened a lot, right? In qualifying and in practice as well. Cars going side by side out the pits. And I was under the impression that's totally against the rules. You couldn't do that, but I guess it's okay.
So I talked about it a little bit too, I think, as somebody was driving down the slow lane but going side by side. So yeah, I don't know. As long as they don't go into the race, you know, across the white line, I know that's definitely a no-no. But what did you hear, Jason?
Yeah, what kind of what you said, that they have like the fast and the slow line there, and that as long as they kind of get whoever is not ahead when they get to the line, as long as they get in behind the guy next to them, I think they just don't really do anything about it. But
it's how many cars, but then it's all up on the lollipop guy to do the release. Then you're like, you can release next to another car or something. I don't know. It's
I mean, I guess the what they have to their advantage at this racetrack in particular is that the pit lane is so wide, like that.
That's not going to work in Monaco for sure.
No, right. There was a big issue. I can't remember if it was qualifying or if it was during practice where both the Mercedes were let out at the same time, and
Lando nearly got hit. I think
Oscar had to like dive out of the way and almost crash into the wall.
Close.
Yeah, that was bad. That was really bad.
And it looked like George, it was George, and it looked like he saw him too. I was like,
yeah, it didn't look like he was even had full lock on to get out the
way. Yeah, it looked like he was ready to drive into him.
Yeah. I think because he had Lewis right there on his right, so there was really nowhere for him to go, but it did kind of look like he just went kind of straight towards Oscar, but luckily they did not crash into each other, and Oscar got out of the way. And then Lewis finally came into the pits, and he came behind George, who I believe pit the lap before that, and they were on the hard tires from the restart, so... it was their turn to kind of fight their way back up the field on medium.
No, they...
Or they went onto another pair of hard tires?
They stayed on hards. Both of them stayed on hards, yeah.
Because they started... looked like the tires, right? I mean, I think they were saying those looked like the best tires. Well, yeah. I don't know what lap it was. I think we might have passed it already, but what lap was it that that Lewis was like, hey, let me know if you need me to let George by. Like... Did you hear that?
I forgot about that.
It was early in the race, and he was just like happy to let him by. I was like, what is going on?
It was very early to be switching cars around like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd forgotten about that. It was like 2 in the morning, so I kind of briefly remember that happening, vaguely. Yeah, that was weird. I guess he was like, oh, I'm not going to be fighting for the win anyway, so let George have a go at it.
It's not the first time I remember Lewis doing that. Not this year anyway, but I know in years past, there's been moments where he just will come out of nowhere and say something like that. And it's just kind of like,
yeah,
what? And then other times, you know, he'll just fight everybody tooth and nails. So it was very strange, especially how early it was, but just kind of recalled that.
Yeah. Let's see. And then on lap 26, Charles was trying to fend off Checo, who was on much fresher tires and trying to battle him. And then he went wide at that one turn where everyone did. So Checo was able to get by him really quickly. And then Lando was right on his ass. But I think Charles went right into the pits right after that, and Lando followed him in. So they ended up both going in there, but Charles had a whole pit stop in hand. Like you said, this was his first in race pit stop of the race. That was strange. Lando didn't seem very happy about coming in so early, but I think they said they were trying to like fend off George, who was way behind, and he ended up coming out behind George anyway.
The race strategist must have been going nuts for this. I mean, there was definitely good passing, which was exciting, but the amount of strategic decisions and, you know, paying attention to everybody's who's on what tires, how many laps in the end of the stint there. That was, I mean, for somebody that knows Formula One, that was a very exciting kind of backstory going on the whole race.
Yeah. It was great to see how that worked out. And then Lando was crucially able to get by George pretty much right away into turn one, but Charles had built up a pretty good gap in front of him already with the time it took Lando to pass George. Max has a 11-second lead over Checo at this point, just barely halfway through the race. So, typical Max stuff.
Well, I will say, I'm not usually backing Checo, but Checo made a bunch of aggressive passes and was very decisive up to this point. So, to be only 11 seconds back, because I think it was Carlos that had talked about, maybe it was Charles, somebody mentioned how the race was just completely different for them as soon as they were in clean air here. You know, they were just able to fly. So Max, obviously being comfortable out front, was able to do his thing. But, you know, I don't want to slight Checo because I will get it to him this weekend. He was on it. He was on Max's pace. I think the 11-second difference at this point really had to just do with traffic and Checo being caught up, which, you know, obviously that's because he didn't beat Max in qualifying. But, you know, all the same, he was having a good race.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And then Yuki with another great pass at the S's, getting by Hulkenberg and getting back into the top 10 at his home race. Yuki making crazy passes there all race long. Alonso came in for his second stop. Max also came in for his second stop. Let's see. He swapped with Carlos, who had not come in for his. Checo came in after that. And then I guess Checo fell behind Charles, but was able to get by him again on the very next lap. And Checo was flying at this point. I think he took the fastest lap of the race at the time, going into turn one, and was effectively P2 on the track with Carlos still needing to pit. It seemed like they were going to kind of keep Carlos out for a while, but they ended up just pitting him after that anyway.
I mean, he had to go onto a different, he hadn't been on any, a different compound, of course. So he had to go onto the hards. Yeah, there wasn't much else they could do.
Yeah. Let's see. And then Carlos was about to pass George to get into P6, but George was able to jump right into the pits there to avoid that. Lewis came in pretty shortly after that. I know they were talking about also keeping him out for a little bit, but they ended up bringing him in shortly after that. And then Logan went off the track again into the gravel, but was able to keep the car going. It seemed very dangerous at the time, the way that he backed up onto the track and there were cars flying by him as he went on the track. But I mean, I don't know, I guess there was no other way to do it there, but it didn't look good.
Yeah, I was impressed that he could get it out the gravel. Usually they just get bogged down immediately. But yeah, the next thing we saw, he was like sitting right on the outside of that corner, right? Cars come flying through, but
it was amazing he didn't crash into the wall.
Yeah,
he was able to stop it.
Yeah, he got it stopped pretty quickly somehow.
Well, all of them, you know, between Degner 1, Degner 2, they flying through Degner 1, they track out to that big curb, but then they'll all get back onto the asphalt to do their heavy braking and make that second turn. And he just stayed out on that curb, and there's just no way. As soon as he tried to get on the pavement, right front locked up, and as Logan always does, he makes it spectacular whenever he does it. I mean, the plume of smoke that you saw before you know, saw what actually happened, you could see it was just a massive, you know, sand pit going up, and the car looked like he was desert racing. I was shocked that he didn't bin the car.
Yeah, I felt so badly for him. I mean,
do feel bad.
He was having a decent race. He was having a very decent race, and then he was 30 seconds behind the guy in second to last place after that.
Yeah. I mean, it took him 45 seconds to get out of there. I do feel bad. I know, like, I mean, listen, as a driver, he doesn't deserve to be on the grid. It's clear. But the fact that he has to now be on the grid.
Just a statistic. That's just a fact.
This is not subjective. That is objective. He needs to be off. But my gosh, it's got to be brutal. Like, think about the ego that any of these guys come into Formula One with. They've done nothing but dominate and be amazing and all that. And then you got to come here and just feel like, I only imagine he must feel like he's the laughing stock. I mean, everything he does doesn't go right. And it's just been a struggle. So, and now he gets this, you know, they talked about how he had this nice time off when his teammate took his car from him and he was able to hang out on the beach and get his mind clear.
And Bali.
Yeah. It stinks.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, he gets paid a lot of money to do this job. So, sort of, right? He pays them too.
He gets paid a lot of money to not do his job. And then let's see. Lando on lap 44 locked up going into the hairpin, which let Carlos get right by him. Well, I guess he didn't go right by him, but then Carlos had him lined up for the pit straight. And by the time they got to turn one, Carlos had that spot. And then he was right behind Charles. Did I hear them say that they were trying to tell him not to fight Charles, but he did anyway? Is that right? Or am I just making that up?
No, they clearly said you are racing for the podium.
Okay.
The race was on between those two from the get-go.
And Carlos made this point. Yeah, I mean, Carlos made pretty quick work of it. He was on much fresher tires than Charles and on a totally different strategy.
Well, and at this point, I mean, it didn't look like Lando would be able to get by Charles, but it just seemed like a lot of the passing, as we said before, was kind of like, all right, I'll kind of defend, but I really just want to get this over with. So go ahead and let me just keep racing, because I think they were all, I don't know. Tire wear wasn't as bad, but it did seem like they were all more conscious about just protecting their tires and getting to the end and accepting the fate that they had in front of them.
At least the guys up at the front were that way.
Yeah.
The guys in the second half of the grid were fighting like crazy all over the place, making passes where no one has seen passes in a very long time. Let's see.
Speaking of which, another kudos to Checo. What, two or three passes on... oh my gosh, I forget the corner now. 130R, yeah. They're flying there. I know they're still full throttle locked onto the ground.
Yeah.
But that's a fast corner to be making passes. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah. And then we saw George and Oscar get really close on that last chicane right before the pit straight, and Oscar had to take the runoff road on the left, but he had the nose ahead when George tried to make that move, and nothing came of it for going off the track and gaining an advantage or anything like that. And eventually George, I think, did pass him on like the very last lap of the race, which is pretty much where we are at now. He lined him up. Right after that chicane, was able to make it into turn one and take P7 from Oscar. And that really was everything from the Japanese Grand Prix. Max wins again.
I guess we didn't mention Max Verstappen barely at all in the recap, but he won.
He wasn't on the broadcast either.
He won.
Oh my gosh. Yep. Unbelievable.
Yeah, he's won every race he's finished this season.
Well, it does look like, I mean, you know, better start to the Formula One season than last season. I mean, the Ferrari seems definitely closer.
Clearly, yeah.
Red Bull is got the gap, but you know, hopefully it's down to a development war, right? I mean, they've got the advantage, but there's enough. They're close enough where some development, if they have an Aston Martin moment or a McLaren moment.
Maybe
maybe Red Bull has a couple hiccups like they did last week or last round. And, you know, you never know. It's hopeful thinking at this point, but I know a lot of people, even true Formula One fans, have kind of just checked out already because of looking like Max is going to walk away with things, but
it's tough.
It feels closer to me than it was at this point last year.
Definitely.
Maybe that's just hopeful thinking, hopeful wishing, but it feels like there is a chance that we could see more than one win, not Red Bull, this season. I think there's a possibility of that.
Yeah.
Which isn't like a high bar, like more than one win that's not Red Bull, but yeah. Carlos has been on the podium on all three races that he has competed in this.
Amazing.
Yeah, he's had a good season. Like we said, he's certainly showcasing his talent. He'll be in a seat somewhere next year, right? Just
I think we said in the beginning of the year, Nick posed the question, like, is it possible that, I don't remember who posed it, but is it possible that Carlos does not get a seat next year? And some of us said that was possible, but the way that he's driving right now,
no way,
he's got to get a job.
Yeah, for sure.
It would be a travesty if he didn't.
I mean, with all the shakeup that we're probably going to be talking about in the coming weeks and months, it'd be nuts to have him not be sitting on the grid and Logan Sargeant and Lance Stroll in the grid. I mean, come on. that would be maniacal. The real question is, like, does Carlos slot into like a number two, like to go to Red Bull? That would be... Right? Yeah. Like that, you know, that would just be...
Except for he's been Max's teammate before, so he knows what to expect.
Totally different situation, but yes. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, he's going to get a drive somewhere.
I mean, if he were to somehow get the Mercedes seat, who knows who would be the number one driver? I mean, obviously George would be it to start, but who knows?
I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah,
it'd be a shame. In fact, you know, he won a race last year. He's won a race this year already. It'd be a shame if he's not in a top car and competing at the sharp end next season.
And I think I heard today that Checo said that we should know, or he should know in the next month or so, if he will be Max's teammate next season.
Okay.
So it seems like the silly season is already getting underway.
Lewis kicked it off already.
Yeah.
So yeah. Just continuing. Yeah.
All right. And then so winners and losers on the race. So obviously Red Bull 1-2 finish. That is to be expected. And then Ferrari finishing 3-4 right behind them. So,
yeah,
you know,
finishing 3-4 after a struggle in qualifying, big time for Charles
all weekend.
Very impressive
all weekend. I mean, yeah, he was really able to make that one stint on the mediums save his race. That was super impressive from him. Alonso had a, you know, pretty impressive weekend all the way around. I think he out qualified his car, which he always seems to do, and made some pretty cool passes during the race. Staying probably, you know, higher than he should have been. And you got to give it to Yuki, right? I mean, he had some of the craziest passes on the weekend. His home race, first time scoring points at his home race.
Yeah, he's got to be buzzing like a great weekend. Yeah, it's just to get into the points at his home race. Didn't really put a foot wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's just looking super confident at this point.
Yeah, he definitely looks like a better, more composed driver this year. Unless maybe they're just editing the radio messages out and we're not getting them.
But. Yeah, yeah, exactly. They can't publicize those words. I want to see Liam Lawson back in Danny's car.
Yeah, I kind of do too.
He's on the outside looking in right now, isn't he? I mean,
he must be so frustrated. Oh my gosh.
And Oliver Bierman showed that, you know, if you're good enough, you know, you can put a young guy in the car and they can produce for you. So teams are always looking at that, thinking that there's other drivers out there that could do a better job for them if anybody slips up.
Yeah, but De Vries did that too. Remember that?
Yeah, no. I mean, yeah, De Vries and Mazepin and
Mazepin never had a high moment at all in Formula One.
Right. So you never. It's a bit of a lottery ticket, right? But it is possible. Those drivers are out there that can step in. But
yeah,
can they do it? Yeah.
And then losers on the weekend. Mercedes had a pretty disappointing weekend all the way around. I don't even remember how they really finished up.
8-9, I think, where they started, right?
Yep, that's right. 8-9. I think they started a little higher than that, didn't they?
I think Hamilton finished 9th, Russell 7th.
Oh, right. So Russell got that pass on Lando right at the end.
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
Yep.
Oscar.
That's kind of where Mercedes are now.
Yeah.
That's kind of where Mercedes are. They're the fourth best team.
Yeah. You
know? Behind Red Bull, Ferrari,
McLaren.
Well, I guess they're sort of with McLaren and Aston.
I mean, McLaren was not that much better than them this weekend. I mean, Lando finished better than George, and Oscar, I guess, finished ahead of Lewis, but they both moved down from where they started. So that is not what they want to see. And then Danny has to be a loser on the weekend. It was looking like one where he might, you know, be putting it together. I mean, he might not have made it into Q3, but he was still looking better than he has in the first three races. But then crashed.
I mean, I guess I agree. Loser for sure. Not necessarily his, I don't know, fault. I know it was, but not really. But yeah, I mean, it's just that's how things go, right? Like snowballs and things are not going right and your luck doesn't change. And
yeah,
poor Danny.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just seems like he's been on this downslide for like 4 years now, you know,
basically. Which is like, then why does Red Bull want him? What is there?
Because he's popular.
They're popular. They're like the most popular team. They do all the crazy things. Yeah. Like,
but they have to do those crazy things because they have Max as like their lead guy, and he's not really all that exciting. You know, like he's kind of a boring guy if you really think about it. Like,
true.
Danny's the crazy one that everyone wants to follow. And then Williams, just two crashes, crashing every week. They are just a train wreck. But they'll probably pass Haas by the end of the season, right?
Well, we'll see. We'll see what Nick has to say next time, if he's on the podcast next, because he was in the Williams garage this weekend. Maybe he's got some inside intel on what the mood was like and
yeah,
what the team was like. But
they must have bought all that Williams gear at the race. There's no way that they had all that on them. They're like, oh, we're getting into Williams, so we're going to buy all the gear. So that
I'm, sure, look right. I'm sure Nick still had his Alonso underpants on, though.
Well, let's keep in mind where Williams was three years ago or so. You know, they're a mess so far. I would say there's a lot of that blame that goes on Logan's shoulders, unfortunately. They could probably be much better if they had two solid drivers like Albon. But yeah, they've been sloppy. I think the spare car thing, I forget who was talking about it, maybe Martin Brundle, that's not as uncommon as it sounds, even though they're in this position where they've now crashed and they don't have a spare chassis. But I feel like he was talking about other teams that actually are under that same risk if they crashed, that they do not have a spare chassis.
I think Haas was running into that with Schumacher crashing quite a lot a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
But that was after like 10 crashes, not like two first way, you know, two races into the season. But yeah.
Yeah.
And then I guess we should talk about,
I think,
Coops.
You put my name on this list. I dropped 20 points in Coops F1.
Oh, I mean, Coops F1 was almost historic. I've been doing this for 20 years, the website, but we nearly had, I don't think we've ever had a perfect prediction. You know, hundreds of predictions across hundreds of races, and Yagoliz, I guess is how you pronounce it, had every driver in the top 10 in the correct spot except Lewis Hamilton and Oscar
were switched.
So the maximum points you can get is 420.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
but it kind of fell for everybody because most people tend to pick, you know, Red Bulls, Ferraris, McLarens, Mercedes. But Yagoliz put in Fernando in the correct spot in sixth and Yuki in tenth. You know, fair play. Yeah. And of course, you know, Max pole, Max fastest lap, but followed closely behind by Copley GP with 380 points.
Wow.
So it's going to be tough. Those are going to be the top scores all season, I think.
A two-time winner.
I was going to say, look at the tournament. Yeah, you got some, he's got a lot of history at the top.
Yeah, some people moving. So yeah, but overall, Jonathan still remains top, followed by R. Heatley. But yeah, the rest of us not doing so good. And prediction consensus, the bot
had a great week.
had a great week and started off way down in the standings at the beginning of the season, coming roaring back. So, you know, just goes to show the answers are right on the homepage.
Yeah. I'll be honest, every time I fill out my picks, I feel like I'm going to get them all right. Like, I'm always like, this is it. Like when I saw Yagoliz's picks, I'm like, this is what I envision every time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Jason, you were riding high for so long last year and now, ugh.
I suck.
Yeah.
Your words.
Not so great.
Ma Cooper took a beating, beating these last 2 weeks, but for sure this one.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not doing much better. I'm down in 140th, so.
I'd take that.
You got slow and steady, Jason. You can't knock it out the park each
week. I think it might be already out of reach for me at this point. Like, I'm close to 400 points off the top, you know? Like,
look, you know, Copley went up 111 places, you know.
I guess so.
You know, people rose 100 spots. Yagoliz, with that prediction, went up 152 spots, so from 200th to 49th. So,
I mean, I did move up this week.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Just like
one
just
spot.
Like, just like Sauber with their, Kick with their 6 second, pit stops. Yeah. You did move up.
One spot. Baby steps.
You just need 200 more rounds.
Yeah. That's right. Exactly. That's right. Give me 5 seasons and I'll be back up there. And then we move to the Chinese Grand Prix in 2 weeks, which hasn't been a race in 5 years.
Quite a while, yeah. It's in Shanghai, right? Is it?
Yeah. And I saw Carlos speaking about it after the race, and he was like, look, this is, and it's a sprint race weekend. So they only have one practice on a track that a lot of these guys have never even driven before. So this might be a good opportunity for a shakeup. Who knows?
Oh, okay. Yeah. This is it's a new circuit, or?
I don't know if Shanghai, it's a new circuit.
Shanghai Audi International Circuit. Yeah, I don't recognize it, but I don't know.
But they were saying that they haven't driven it, so maybe it is.
All right, okay.
I love that. I love that they're getting very limited time to prepare, because that is when these guys show how unbelievably talented they are to go out there and race these cars on tracks that they don't know, after only getting a session, an hour to practice, which is what they get maybe 20, 25 laps in.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I think it could be an exciting one. I think it makes those guys, the older guys with a lot of experience, that gives them the upper hand to do something crazy.
Yeah. Well, but also even the younger guys who don't have as much experience, because everybody's kind of in that same boat. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it should be.
What time is this? Is it going to be a crazy time?
Probably.
Look. Yeah.
I have to look. Yeah.
But this is the end of the Asia Oceania races, right?
Miami, and then back into Europe.
Yeah. Yeah, it's probably going to be 1 in the morning.
It's 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeesh.
For East Coast, for us East Coast people.
He has to give up the corner. I had to nose ahead. What is wrong with these people?
Thanks for listening to the Undercuts review of the 2024 Japanese Grand Prix. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen, and we'll see you next time for our review of the Chinese Grand Prix.